In to the podcast here at the House of Manna. We're continuing our service, our series, The Father's Heart. The first one was to know his nature. He is the door. And today's message, part three, is standing to be blessed. The Father's Heart. He stands eagerly waiting to bless his children. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And when you're there, say, I got it, Pastor. That's one. Somebody else? Got it. Yeah. What else? Come on. Shout it out. We got it? We ready? I'm going to begin reading. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday and forever. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to guide us through this endeavor through your word. I thank you, God, that you are continually showing us, revealing to us, and illuminating our minds, our hearts, and our spirit concerning your word and your purpose, Father, in these last days. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken through the forefathers, but you showed us the exact imprint of your nature through your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you as we meander through the actual verses of your word, Lord, that we begin to extrapolate all of the goodness and the very nuggets of truth that will be the substance that we need in these last days. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I want to share with you a little bit more about the Father's heart. If you were here on Wednesday, if not, you can go to the podcast. It is on the podcast at thehouseofmanna.com. And you go into the sermon link and you will see it. He is the door. When I was watching Netflix and there was some movie that came on, you know, sometimes you just kind of let it just play and happen to wake up from my little intercession moment, you know. And there's the grandmother in the kitchen and she is, you know, she's cooking and playing. The kids are running in and out of the house. And she says, boy, you better either you're going to stay out or you're going to stay in and quit slamming that door. Reminded me of my grandmother when we were playing, we had this screen door. And then that screen door was just, instead of having like those closure arms, it was that big old spring. So you couldn't adjust the tension. It would just slam. So you couldn't do it quietly because it would just, okay? So it was to keep the things out that were not necessary to be in and to keep those in that shouldn't be out. So we talked about the door, that Jesus is the door. He is the one that leads the sheep to greener pastures, to clean waters, but he is also the door that allows you to go in and to go out. It's your choice, right? So now what I want to share with you is that he is the Father that is standing ready to bless you. Turn with me to Genesis 28, verse 10. Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. And I want to share with you these verses 10 through 15. But this is where I believe that the Lord is going to show you that he is standing ready and eagerly waiting to bless you. Genesis 28 verse 10 reads in this wise out of the NIV. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and sent out to Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laying down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, when its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, and I will never leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What a blessing to have a dream like that. And he's telling now Jacob the blessing of his father Abraham and of Isaac. How many times have you heard this? The God of the father Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. You hear it of Jacob. What is the nature of Jacob? He's a supplanter. He's tricky. You ever run across someone like that? A jokester. He's tricky. Always trying to scheme his way. Scheming Steve. We know about a scheming Steve, right? He's trying to find a way to make things work for him. Well, that's who Jacob was. That was his nature. So when you hear them say, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, why did he, God himself, associate himself with a schemer? You remember Arsenio Hall? Things that make you go, It's like, why would you be the father, the God of someone that is a mess? Why would you be the father of the one that is constantly trying to figure things out for himself, do things his way, try to supplant things, do things in a way that it's going to benefit him and nobody else? But he also said, I'm the God, the father of Abraham, the father of faith, right? So if God is the father of our forefathers, we have to understand the nature of the individuals that he's talking about. Abram was the one that was told to go and leave his kindred and his kind and to do what God told him to do. And then he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And at that point, then he became Abraham. Why? Because he was obedient. So Abraham is the father of faith. And through his loins, we have inherited the rights into the kingdom. Okay? And all the blessings of the kingdom. And because of that, our forefather, and who has done things by faith, has positioned us to do things by faith. Now, is faith something that you just do knowing what the outcome is going to be? I wish I knew that I could see that far in advance and know how it was going to turn out. Don't you? God, I'm going to do this thing. Before I do it, though, I would really like to see how it's going to turn out. How many times has he answered that prayer for you? He says, I'm going to make you walk. But every time you take a step is when I reveal the next step for you. That's faith. I was like, God, I just can I get a glimpse? Can I just see a little bit further? So what does he do? He shows you a lot further. But he doesn't show the in-betweens. Because if he showed you what you were going to go through to get to where he showed you, you would have said, deuces, I'm done. I'm not going through that. You ain't going to put me through all that kind of mess just to get that. I'm not doing it. Because you know how we get. We get to the point we want things put in, you know, we want that minute rice would be done in 30 seconds instead of a minute. And if you really want good bacon, you don't put it in a microwave. You put it in the oven and you broil it. But if we put it in the microwave, it's going to cook faster. It don't taste the same. So we try to make things work fast on our behalf. Then he speaks about he's the God of Isaac. Isaac is the God of promise. The son of promise. How many times has promises that have been spoken to you been difficult? Doesn't it seem like it's always difficult? How come we can't promise? Sylvia, today when you get home, Sylvia, your lotto number is this, 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 and this, and this. And I already purchased the ticket for you, so you don't have to go and get it. It's right there on the table for you. Wouldn't it be nice? What God are you serving? Well, what about this one? Because, you know me, it's Father's Day. So food has to be topic. Food. Marty, when you get home, your steaks are already done just the way you like it. Give me a moment. Whew. Sizzling with the butter just melting down. With the asparagus, nice and crisp, not soggy but crisp. That when it snaps, oh, and that bread that is just pulled out of the oven that has that butter just running through. That when you bite it, it just Y'all felt it. I know you felt it. But you see, but God knows what I desire and what I like, but he doesn't give it to me that way. He's going to tell you, you're going to have to work and you're going to have to labor. You're going to have to do some things that's going to require you to receive your promise, but it's not your works. It is your faith that your Father has shown you on how to get things to work for you. It ain't going to come easy. So Isaac, I'm going to show you how it's not going to come easy. Get on that altar. You're the sacrifice. Telling that to a teenager now. Teenager going to look like, what? I carry now. I'm packing. And God's going to say, like, what's that thing going to do in your hand? See, we don't like the process. But he speaks about Isaac as the son of promise. His promises sometimes have to be put on the altar. Oh, you're not going to like this. Sometimes you got to put what God has spoken to you and the vision that he's given you and put it on the altar and not make it your God. And when you put it on that altar, don't go back to it. If he tells you steady your hand, don't do anything to it. So he says, I'm the God of Isaac as well. And this one, he really got me. See, the Bible says, I'm the God of Marty. My angels are in timeout right now. Because that boy, he wear him out. I think, this is my mind. So don't. This is my mind. A little demented at times. I believe God sits down with his son Jesus. He said, God, I know you daddy, but you made Marty. My time at your right hand is praying for him a lot. He says, son, all I need you to do is keep praying for him. Because if you're not here and I have to deal with him, it'll be over. But because of you, son, he's still trying to figure things out. He's got a little sideways at times. But I like to watch him squirm. Because in his squirming, he cries out to me a lot. Have we been there? So you know what I'm talking about. He's the God of you. They will look at you and say, don't open that door again. Put an end to it. Don't go back to that place because you'll let some things in that you can't deal with. But if it wasn't for my son praying for those doors to remain closed, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. But we have a tendency to want to be in that place where we can take matters into our own hands because we're going to put our mind to think about how we can make change in our life. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the story about my truck? Y'all don't? Okay, I'll tell you again. See, you know me, I like nice things. I saw something bigger. I saw something nicer than what I had. So I went and got it. Didn't ask daddy for it. Didn't ask mommy for it either. Didn't listen to counsel. And it was taken. See, what we have to realize is that we got to go to God for everything. And me as the one that is like Jacob, let's see how I can make things work for me. If I do this and I do that and I do this, I could get that. I says, no. You're going to have to work some things out by faith. And by faith, you'll please me. But by your works, you will not move me. Whew. Just put that on the altar and watch and I'll bring it to pass for you. The Lord is standing ready to speak, ready to grab hold of his child. As he's looking down, I imagine him looking down at a stinky, boy that was in running from his brother that's trying to kill him, running because he's scared. He hasn't showered. He hasn't eaten well. He is running. But all of a sudden, he stands at the very top of the very stair to heaven. He looks down to him. He said, I'm going to bless you. And through you, from the west to the east, I'm going to make your descendants so plentiful, so blessed. Have you ever been in that situation where you're so tired that that's when God speaks to you? When you're so tired. You know, when you're tired. Don't make me work. Come on. It's Father's Day. You should be happy, happy. When you're so dang tired that you don't even want to pray no more. You don't want to fast anymore. You don't want to do the things that you know you're supposed to do because you're so dang tired. That's when he's about to speak to you. You're so tired that you're going to go ahead and put your head on a rock. You're like, that's a pillow for you. Are you going to sleep on that sleep number bed tonight? No. You're not going to be able to get comfortable. You're irritated. You can't sleep throughout the night. You can't find rest. You can't find peace. I'm going to speak to you because I'm your daddy. And I see what your struggles are. I see what you've been through. I see how hard it's been for you. But I'm going to speak to you. He speaks to his son and he blesses him. And then he says to him, I will be with you wherever you go. So I look at this about Jacob, and Jacob's the one that he now realizes that God spoke to him there, and he plants a rock and he puts the oil. This is the house of God. This is where God dwells. Here's the God that is here in Bethel. But what Jacob comes to realize when his revelation hits is that he was the God in his mess. He was the God through all the trials that he had been through. He's the God that has been through your divorces. He's the God that's been through all your children going crazy on you. He's the one that's been with you when your husband's getting a little crazy on you, sideways. Your wife is getting a little, well, mama and daddy get a little. Because we all get a little. But he's the God that's right there during that time. He's the God that is with you as you are getting berated by all these kinds of words just coming at you to curse you. He was standing right there with you, just letting you know, I'm here with you. Don't receive that word. Don't receive that curse. I will curse the one that curse you, and I will bless those that bless you. I'm your daddy that stands here with you, and I won't let any harm come to you. Stand in my presence because I'm standing getting ready to bless you. I'm eagerly waiting to bless you, not to curse you, to help you, and not to harm you. I have plans for you. But it's going to require you to trust me. Trust me. There's a song that Clint Brown sings. It says, I'm waiting on you. I was in here the other day and I played that song. Boy, did I cry. Not because it's a good song. It's because I hate it. I don't like waiting. And that's what the Lord was telling me. You have a hard time waiting, don't you? I said, I sure do, God. Why do you answer me now? But when I ask you a question, you don't answer. I'm asking for specific things. He says, you're praying amiss. Pray my will. What's your will? Follow me without knowing. Follow me without seeing. Speak without hearing. Because I am the God that requires your faith. I'm your daddy that requires you to have faith in me. I said, Lord, why you got to speak after this song comes on? I purposely didn't play it for a long time. Y'all know I used to have this playlist that I used to come in here and just my pity party right here in that corner. You know, you have your own playlist when you're just going to boo-hooing. The song that just makes you just start breathing. That one. I had that playlist. But I didn't play it for over 3 years. So I just let my playlist just kind of run. I forgot that song was in there. We got some demons out of here for real. Because I was at that point. I ain't waiting no more, God. I'm not waiting. I'm going to move. So then we add a little scripture to it. I'm going to move by your spirit. You know how we get. We try. I'm going to move by the prompting of the Lord. So then all of us, I feel the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, I started feeling that there was strength coming back to me. He says, it's not the song. It's that you're going back to remembering when you waited on me before. I would have encounters with you and show you that I was there in that waiting time. But now you got so comfortable that you're forgetting about my presence is always with you. Oh, come on, man. Let's just go through this. Let's just go through this. Because what happens is we get so comfortable with this presence. Stand up. That we know he's there, but what happens is, you know he's there. How will he follow me if I go this way? He did that time, so I guess I'll. And we keep moving. But the will of God was over there. We keep testing his presence and his grace. It doesn't matter. He's still going to follow. Because daddy's going to be with you wherever you go. Whatever you go through, whatever you've been through, try to run away from God. Try to run away from God. Try to get away from God. What's he going to do? Huh? What's he going to do? He's going to keep after you. Yeah, you should have wanted to come. Well, she was today. Huh? What's going to happen when you start running because you're so mad, you're so tired of everything that you're going through? I can't do this no more, God. I'm sick and tired. I'm having to deal with all kinds of demons. Boom, he shows up. And when he shows up, he says, I've been with you the whole time. I'm not leaving you. You can get mad at me. You can cry. You can kick and you can scream. But I'm your daddy. I'm with you from the beginning to the end. My nature is to be with you, stand with you. And if I have to fight for you, I will fight for you. I will stand willing, ready, and able to bless you. He says, you got to realize I've been there all along. All along I've been there. Liz, when it don't feel like it's going to change, you're tired of being in that place. You're tired of having to answer to them. I have dreams. I have visions. When will it come? He says, I'm here with you now. Put it to paper. Put the pen to it. And watch as I begin to divulge everything that you need. Yes, I'm your daddy with you. Never leave you nor forsake you. What you ask of me, I will give it to you. For you are my beloved daughter. I'm your beloved father. I speak blessings into your life. My curse is your blessing. You're a blessed woman of God. Release blessings in the atmosphere. Watch what returns back into you. Daddy follows you. You want to be Abram for a minute and question God. How am I going to have all these sons and daughters? I'm old. Did you see my wife? She's old. There's no way, God. And God's standing there right there. I got to wait till you're old to prove to you it ain't you, it's me. I got to bring you into a lonely place in the desert so that I can be with you. And you rely on me and not your wealth and not all those that you had under you. But you had to leave everybody so that you can find me in the wilderness. You ever find yourself in the wilderness? Daddy's right there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to follow you. You're going to go through some things. He'll stand there with you. Busted relationships. I'm going to be right here with you. There to help you, not to hurt you. But we have to turn to you. So if you're the God of where I was at, in my mess, you're the God of where I am in it. You're the God that's going to take me out of where I'm at to where I'm going. You're the same God that let me in, will lead me out.
You're the same God that spoke the blessings to me that will bring me through every curse that everybody tried to put on me. Because not everybody is going to celebrate you, but the daddy that is in heaven stands eagerly waiting to bless you. Son, I'm going to bless you so much that they can't even count the seed that are going to come from your loins. I'm going to bless you because of your heart. I'm going to bless you because you have a heart of gold. But that's why it gets trampled on. It's not because of you. It's because of what you stand for. You stand for Christ. And nothing less. I will bless you, sir. I will bless you. It don't mean you're not going to go through things. But when you go through, no, I'm going there with you. I'll stand with you. Your dreams are not over. They're not dead. You place them on the altar and say, when? I just don't know. And you just walk away. You walk towards them and watch as they will come. You have an entrepreneur spirit in you. It's going to be different. It's going to be hard. It may be different than what everybody else is doing, but it's going to be what God wants you to do. You'll have to birth it in your oppression. You have to birth it while you're being depressed. You'll have to birth it while all pressures are coming against you. But you'll birth it out. You're a blessed man of God. Bless. Believe that place in Him or His presence. He goes with you wherever you go. Turn to Him. Acknowledge Him. Jacob, acknowledge Him. I'm a mess, God. I'm going through stuff. I've never been through this before. I had to leave my family. I have to leave everything that I once had. I can't find a wife out of my own kindred, out of my own people. I got to go someplace else. I can't do this no more. And he falls asleep and God speaks. I will bless you. I will bless you. But in your hardships, in everything you're going through, I will bless you. Turn things around for you. You don't understand how it's going to happen, but it will happen. Because that's what Daddy God wants to do. He's a father that wants to stand and bless you. 48 hours of turmoil. But turn around to be a new beginning. What you have fought and what you have laid before and what you believe in. What God has shown you to do, it is time to do and be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit of God. And as you do it, you will see that God will stand for you in the midst of this adversity to turn things around. For your lineage is to be blessed and not cursed. I curse the very root of this enemy is the Spirit of God. It will not just show up somewhere else. Curse it right now. Destroy the very works of the name of Jesus mighty. You will not follow your children, your grandchildren, or your great grandchildren. It's cursed and it's broken now. Jesus mighty. Our daddy wants to stand, he wants to bless us, he wants to keep us. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son and the father in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. I want to start real quick in verse 17. After the son, let me just read it 14. Let me read it 14. After the son asked for his inheritance, he left. Watch this in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, the lack. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Watch this, verse 15. When you're going through stuff, when you're out of the will of God, you will always adjoin yourself to someone in that same circumstance. Mm-mm-mm. You will always put yourself to be a slave to somebody else's desires as opposed to God's desires. He was a citizen in that country that he had joined himself to. There was a famine in the land. How many times are you going to connect with somebody that you know is not there for you? But they will use you. They will use you. There's a famine in the land.
You ain't got nothing? Go feed my pigs. How is that a blessing to you? And if you continue reading on, he starts eating the slop of the pigs. That nobody gave him. Don't join yourself to somebody else. Especially in your mess. You better find out who God has called you to be with. Don't just start going with whoever you thought you were going to be with. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 17 is the loose. That's the light. That's the revelation. When he came to himself, he had revelation. Wait a minute. I'm over here with these pigs, but my father's servants are better off than me. So I say, okay, God, I've been down that road. I've made stupid decisions. Don't leave me. I'm the only one hanging up here. We all have made decisions like, Lord, I knew better than that. Dang, I shouldn't have done that one. Or that one. Or that one. Or that one. It's like a broken record. And that one. And that one. And that one. But we know that we shouldn't have, but we did it anyhow. But God is right there. I find it interesting, if he was a son that was by himself, who knew all the stuff that he was going through? Many scholars say that it was the brother that saw it all and reported back to dad. I believe it was God himself. If the word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and daddy was watching him. He saw him. And I believe that verse 15 is when the Spirit of God reminded him who he is. See, he got delivered. It reminded him of who he is. Not was, but is. See, when he came to himself, he realized who he is. But where did he find himself? Where did he come to himself? Was it at the altar? Oh, he was getting prayed for by elders. Oh, he was sitting at the back row when he entered into the church service. No, it was in the actual mess. See, all it takes for us to have that understanding to get right back in a position is, even when we're in our mess, realize, I shouldn't be here. God, help me. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, but God, help me. I know who I am. I'm called of God. I'm a child of God. I shouldn't be eating the swine's food. I should be doing what God has told me to do, is to be a child of God, where everything that is his is mine. And if I ask for bread, he's not going to give me a stone. He's not going to give me a snake. He's going to give me what I desire and what I need. So if I'm going through something, I need to realize who I am and take on my position, my identity. So he comes back to himself, and then watch this. Verse 18, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, says, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Remember, Michael. Scripture says he was a far way off, but yet his father saw him. He wasn't in the proximity of the house yet, but his father was eagerly waiting to see. I know, I feel my son, he's coming.
I feel my son is coming back. I feel my son. He's realized something, that I'm his father, and what I have for him is him. I feel it in my spirit. He is coming. So he's now not at the porch. He is now at the edge. Now maybe his property line, looking for his son to come down that dirt road. And as he sees him from afar off, he runs to him. And he runs to him. And he grabs hold of him. He grabs him by the neck. And he kisses him. That's how you hug on the neck. And you love him. From a distance, you see him coming. That tells me that the father never quit praying. The father never stopped believing that he was coming home. He wasn't a son that was gone and never coming back. The father said, you may go, but I'll always stand here waiting for you to return. This is your proper place. This is your proper place. I will stand believing that you're coming back. I stand waiting to bless you. But what I do and what I labor for is not for me, but it's for my descendants. It is for my children and my children's children. It is for my children and the generations to come. I don't do this just for my own. I do it for my children. The father sees him from a long way off. Why? Because he's been watching, eagerly waiting for that day of return. Tells his servant, go get him a robe. Go get him a robe, the finest robe. Go get him the finest robe. And put it on him. Why the robe? Why the finest robe? Because a father will always be a covering to his sons. To his daughters. Not just anything will do, but the finest robe will be for my son. Did he tell him to go get cleaned up? Did he tell him to wash all that worldly stuff off of him? Did he tell him to get all the stuff that where he was before? Get it off of him before you touch me, because I don't want to get with you fast. No, Daddy said, bring the finest. I don't care what his stature is. I don't care where he's at. I don't care what he smells like, what he looks like. Put it on him now. Because my best is always for you. He tells him, get him a ring. Put the ring on his finger. Because the ring represents the authority. It represents everything that I am is in you. Everything of who I am is in you. And anything you desire, all you ever got to do, wherever you're at, is just show them who I am in that ring. And when you lift that ring up and say, this is my daddy's signet. If he says release it, it's to be released, son. Because whatever's mine is all yours. Give him my ring. Because what I labor for, what I do, is for you. It's not for my namesake, it's for you. So he covers him and protects him, even in his mess. Then he gives him the ring, the signet ring of authority. He says, I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you. And when I'm gone, my ring and my covering remains on you. Then he tells him, get him some shoes. Put some shoes on him. Act like you're putting shoes on him. Why is that important? Because his journey is going to need a covering on his feet. Because everywhere that I have been, you will step also. You will feel the shoes of your father. And everywhere that I've gone, you're going to go, but you will go further than I've ever been. I may have stopped here, but you will continue on. You will carry on a legacy. You will carry on the blessing. You are a blessing to many. You will be a blessing to the multitude. And everything that is mine, I give unto you. But it's only the starting point for you. You're going to take it further than you've ever been. You're going to see things that you've never seen. You're going to imagine things, and God's going to blow your mind. It's hard. It's hard, Sylvia. It has to be hard. Because the journey is hard. But in the journey, I've covered him. It is my blood that has clothed him. It is my authority that is on him. It is the gospel that shods his feet, that wherever I go, I can declare the word of the Lord, and I can take my land, I can take my promise, and I can declare, my daddy has blessed me. He may not be in position, Kelly, but you are. You stay in that position, and you release the blessing. You put your hands on your daughters, and you release the blessing of a father. As you release that blessing, you will see this. I will answer your prayers concerning their future, concerning their well-being. And whatever has tried to come against them, I will stand and I will fight for them. Wherever they're at, I will fight for them. Because you can't be everywhere, but I can be everywhere. You'll continue to be on your face, and my face will be in their presence. You release the blessings. Release the blessings. He has covered him. He's given him the authority. He's given him shoes. Now he feeds them the best. What is he saying? Why is that story so significant? Because the Bible says, I will prepare a table before their enemies, and I will dine with you. When you come unto yourself and realize where you're at in relation to the presence of the Father, Daddy's always waiting to bless. He's not sitting. He's standing. Eagerly waiting, searching for you, for the blessing. A great blessing has fallen upon you. Peace, tranquility. A season that will bring you into that place where you will begin to see the labor of your words and prayer. Not only are you blessed to be a blessing, but you are raising up leaders. Out of your mouth comes wisdom. The correction we don't like, but it's the correction of the Lord. In the days of the Israelites, they needed a voice, and Deborah arose. When Deborah arose, she said, I will stand and I will go. Go behind the enemy lines as it was prophesied to you before. Begin to declare the things of the Lord and watch as many, the yokes will be broken off. Many young women and young men will come back into the knowing knowledge of God just because of prayer. You've been a mother to many. To many. I see you on the phone encouraging a lot of people. Not in vain, Mom. It's not in vain. I say that with the utmost respect. It's not in vain. Continue to be on your face. Get in your word. Thank you, Jesus. It's kind of unorthodox for you to be still as you pray. You move around a lot. You tried it because it was taught to you at an early age. The same way. She paces more than anything else. Walks around, declares to keep you safe. I bless you. I bless you. Release the very presence.
presence of Almighty God. We go before you to prepare the way for where you're going. My God, I feel you right
now. Oh.
Even in the hardships, you wouldn't cease to pray. You wouldn't cease. You wouldn't stop. You only prayed the more and more. A man who heard you speak, but you have a loud voice. It comes deep within your soul. What you're passionate about is what comes from you. Continue to speak it and declare it into the atmosphere. The spirit of prophecy is on you very thick. Prophesy into existence. Let's say a young man. The words that will come out of your mouth will change the heart. Declare to you. Let the spirit of Almighty God lead you to what to speak, when to speak, and how to speak. Say that. You hear that. How to speak. Covering, ring, shoes, now the fatted calf. He could have just stopped with just the covering. The hugs and the kisses would have been enough for me. And I'm home. I'm home. I messed up. I sinned against you and heaven. Kisses alone would have been enough. Just him running to me would have been enough. But he doesn't stop blessing him. He says, now go get the fatted calf. We're about to have a party. Why? Because the one that was away has come home. I don't even want to talk about the jealous brother. But in everything that is in this house belongs to you. As your spiritual father, I declare unto you, my son, the blessing that upon you and upon your shoulders, you will carry the very presence of God with you. You're blessed to be a blessing. As my right hand of authority blesses you, the son, whom I've raised, who I've poured myself into, who I labor for, I release the blessing of a father unto you. I declare unto you right now, beloved, the greater things that you shall encounter with the very presence of God, the glory of God, but the blessing of a father that will continue to go on to 1,000 generations, that out of your loins your children shall be blessed. Your children's children shall be blessed. I declare unto you the very blessing of a father. In Jesus' mighty name.